We are in conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We know him as the public face of fighting this COVID pandemic, especially in the early days as our nation looked for an expert for clarity and to tell us how to defeat this virus. He is an institution in public health and in battling infectious disease, having advised seven presidents, now chief medical officer to President Biden. Dr. Fauci has served as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984. He's been a physician for the National Institutes of Health for more than a half century. I spoke with him Tuesday afternoon. Dr. Anthony Fauci, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So all over the country, including here in Wisconsin, states have reopened, masks not required, businesses starting to get back to normal. Are we moving too quickly?
Well, it depends on what the level of vaccination the community is. I mean, if you have a very high level of vaccination, you can expect the level of infections, the number of infections per day, the weekly average of daily infections to become very, very low in your area. So I think you have to take a look at what the level of vaccination is, what percentage is. And if it's high enough, I think that getting things open and getting back to normal, I don't think it should be an all or none phenomenon. I think under certain circumstances, depending upon the dynamics of the outbreak in a particular area, you're still going to have to do the kinds of precautions that are recommended by the CDC.
Many scientists are now saying that we'll never reach herd immunity. Is COVID-19 here to stay?
Well, we better be careful because we don't know exactly what the percentage of the threshold of herd immunity is. You know, the concept of herd immunity is that you get enough people vaccinated together with those who are infected, who have recovered, and who are now, at least for a finite period of time, protected against reinfection. You put that together, if you have enough people, whatever that threshold is, we don't know whether that's going to be 70%, 85% of the population. We don't know. So I think it would be premature and probably not accurate to say we will never reach herd immunity. First of all, we're not completely certain what that threshold number is. So my response to that, when people say that, is to we should get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can. And you will get to the point where if you get enough people vaccinated, you will see a dramatic decline in the number of daily infections. That will be herd immunity when you get to the point where virtually no one is getting infected because the population is protected by the large number of people who have been either vaccinated or previously infected.
Do you think we need to achieve herd immunity to beat this pandemic? Or can we start thinking it maybe like the seasonal flu, which is also highly transmissible?
It's very difficult to predict that. We don't know that. We don't know whether or not it's going to hang around and be at a low level. And that's the reason why the solution is get vaccinated. You get enough people vaccinated, you will protect the community from infection, and you may not have to worry about it recurring. But whether or not we're going to see a lower level is unclear at present. So when you look at an infectious disease, you ultimately either eradicate it, you eliminate it, or you control it. And there's various levels of control. We've only eradicated one infectious disease in literally history, and that is smallpox. Mm. By a very effective vaccination campaign. We've eliminated in certain countries a variety of illnesses. In the United States, we've eliminated polio. In the United States, we've eliminated measles, except for those little clusters that occur in regions and areas where people are not vaccinated. That's what elimination is. Control is when there's infection that's there at various levels, hopefully a very low level, but it doesn't cause disruption of society. It is conceivable, and I don't know, and I repeat, I don't know whether that's going to be the case with COVID-19. I would hope that we can eliminate it from our society But that may not be in the cards, at least for the foreseeable future. We may hopefully be able to control it enough so that it doesn't disrupt society the way it is doing right now.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci, our nation's top immunologist. Dr. Fauci has been chief medical advisor to the White House since January and is longtime director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. I want to turn to our home front here in Wisconsin because we have seen, you know, Democrats and Republicans fighting bitterly over our response. We've had, you know, fights over shutdowns, over mask mandates, over schools reopening, vaccine distribution. And we had the nation's highest infection rate for a period in the fall. We also led the nation in vaccinations for a period this spring. What do you make of Wisconsin's response?
Well, one of the things that I have said several times over this period is that it is unfortunate that we are living right now in an arena of considerable divisiveness within our country. That is unfortunate because we have a common enemy. The common enemy is the virus, not each other. We might have differences, and those differences should be respected. And those differences, in some respects, can even make us stronger. But when political differences or profound divisiveness in society get in the way of a uniform, smooth, effective response to a pandemic, that is unfortunate. So I would hope that we can all pull together to end this to the point, as we mentioned just a little bit ago, where we either eliminate it or we control it at a very, very low level.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is chief medical advisor to the White House, has been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984. Dr. Fauci, I want to look for a moment here at science. How can we rebuild science? I mean, skepticism of science in a pandemic isn't a new thing. You saw it unfold in the AIDS crisis. How do you rebuild trust in science? How do you root out misinformation?
Well, you know, it becomes more difficult, particularly in this era of social media, where you wind up having anyone can say anything, and then it spreads like wildfire. And it's very difficult to counter that. I think the only way to do it is to continue to bring out the facts in a way that's understandable for people, to be consistent and to be transparent. But you're right, misinformation is really very, very destructive of an adequate and appropriate response to a serious situation like the pandemic we're facing like now.
What do you see as your role and your response to eradicating this misinformation and elevating science?
Well, it's what I've been trying to do, is always speak the truth. Sometimes the truth is an inconvenient truth to some people, but you've got to continue to collect data, information, and evidence. And I think sometimes what people get confused with is that science is a dynamic process. We know things much better and much differently now than we did in January of 2020. And as things evolved, how you look at this pandemic, how you address it, guidelines, policies, and things can change. And that's not flip-flopping. That's being open-minded enough and flexible enough to continue to be guided by the facts and the evidence as they evolve. If this were a static process, we would know everything we needed to know right from the get-go. But it isn't. It's a dynamic process that continues to evolve. And science, by its very nature, is self-corrective. That you learn something today, and then you find out that as the situation evolves, things might change, and you have to be adaptable enough to make changes as new truths and new information come out.
We're talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci, our nation's top immunologist, who became the public face of the federal response to COVID-19. He's chief medical advisor to the White House. We will pick up our conversation and get to a listener voicemail. Sue from Darlington wants to know about the future of vaccinating children and whether students should wear masks in the classroom in the fall. We'll be back in a minute with more from Dr. Fauci here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're in conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. He's worked with seven presidents, from Ronald Reagan to now as chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden. Much of his long career in public health has focused on researching viruses like HIV/AIDS and the effects on the immune system. When we talked Tuesday, I asked him about new treatment breakthroughs for COVID patients, and this came up because recently, we heard on our program from infectious disease specialist Dr. Mary Beth Graham from the Medical College of Wisconsin. She had expressed frustration, along with her colleagues, that there haven't been new therapeutic advancements for treating severely ill COVID patients at this stage in the pandemic. And so I asked him about this and what to do about long haulers to prevent further suffering and death.
Well, there are three aspects, I believe, to your question. There's the treatment early on for people to prevent them for the need for hospitalization. There's treatment of people with advanced disease because the mechanisms of both of those are different. And then there's the situation with what we're calling long COVID or long haulers. We have reasonably good therapies now that we've learned over the last year for advanced disease, because when you get advanced disease, it's more of an aberrant destructive inflammatory or immune response that's less related to the virus and more to an uncontrolled inflammatory or immune response. We've done much better over the last several months than we did early on because we've learned a lot about how to treat individuals. What we need to do better at, and we're putting a considerable amount of resources into this process right now, is to develop drugs that are directed specifically against the virus to treat people early in the course of their infection so that you can prevent them from the need of going to the hospital by blocking the progression of their disease. We have things like monoclonal antibodies, which are really good if you can get them early enough to be used in individuals. We have some direct antivirals, not a lot of them, and that's what most of the effort is directed in, trying to develop new targeted antiviral drugs to treat people early. Then there's the situation with long COVID. We really need to understand what the mechanisms of that are before we actually can do anything about it, because the mechanisms whereby people have prolonged symptomatology that's unexplainable by any recognizable pathogenic process, like profound fatigue, muscle aches, temperature dysregulation, unexplained rapid heartbeat or tachycardia, sleep disturbances, and what people refer to as brain fog or an inability to focus or concentrate. That is a real phenomenon, and we've now begun to study it very intensively, but we don't have many antidotes to it because we don't know what the pathogenic mechanisms are. And that's the reason why we're putting a considerable effort into trying, learning more about that, because it is a real phenomenon and is seen in a substantial proportion of people who recover from the initial onslaught of the virus, but have the persistence of unexplained symptomatology.
I want to take a listener question here. Sue from Darlington called in with this question for you.
When does he think that children under 12 will be getting the vaccine or eligible for the vaccine? And also, does he think that school children in the fall will need to be wearing masks to school?
Well, the situation with children less than 12 years old is now being very actively studied in what's called an age de-escalation manner. We know now that we have the emergency use authorization approval to vaccinate children from 12 to 15. Those are fundamentally high school students. Children younger will be studied over the next few months and are currently being studied. You go from 12 to 9. If that looks good, you then study kids from 9 years old to 6. If that looks good, you go from 6 to 2. If that looks good, you go from 6 months to 2 years. It is likely that those studies will be completed by the end of calendar year 2021, and at the latest, as we get into the first quarter of 2022. So it looks like high school kids will be vaccinated in time for the fall term, whereas children younger than 12 will likely not get vaccinated until towards the end of the year, the beginning of the current year. That being the case, the CDC will likely continue to recommend the wearing of masks of children in school, particularly those children of the age that have not yet been vaccinated.
We're talking about the fight against COVID at this stage in the pandemic and the road ahead for public health with Dr. Anthony Fauci. He serves as chief medical advisor to President Biden. Dr. Fauci has been the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984.
What about, you know, air traffic and bookings being so far up, airlines adding hundreds of flights this summer? Are you concerned about Americans traveling abroad in the pandemic and the risks of variants?
Well, travel historically with COVID-19 is a risky procedure, although what's going on right now with flights, with the mandate to wear masks on flights and more people getting vaccinated, the risk becomes less and less, particularly for people who are vaccinated. That's one of the reasons why we encourage so strongly for people to get vaccinated, because you'll be able to safely do many of the things that you were not able to do before vaccines became available. With regard to variants, fortunately for us, the dominant variants that are going around in the United States are very well handled by the vaccines that are now being utilized in the United States. We have to stay alert for newer variants to make sure that they don't evade the protection of vaccines. But currently, the vaccines that we're using right now appear to be working very well against the dominant variants that are in this country.
Do you suspect we'll need a COVID vaccine booster shot later this year?
I don't think we can make that determination right now.
Uh-huh.
It is likely that sometime in the future, since the protection of a vaccine may not be infinite, as it were, namely go on forever, but we don't know exactly when. We want to prepare for the possibility that we might need a booster in addition to the regular regimen sometime within a year or so, but we don't know that. It could be much longer than a year or so. So we need to do the studies, which we are doing, to determine how long the protection lasts from the vaccine regimens that we have now, namely the prime boost from Moderna and Pfizer and the single dose from J&J. We do not know for sure how long that protection lasts, but we're doing studies to determine that. And the results of those studies will determine whether or not and when we will need a booster.
Dr. Fauci, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is chief medical advisor to the White House, longtime director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And in the throes of the pandemic, he became the face of the fight against COVID in our country. We spoke Tuesday afternoon. You can find more reporting on our interview at WPR.org. Coming up, we talk with Dane County's newly appointed Sheriff Calvin Barrett. He assumed the position last month. We explore his leadership vision, his approach to use of force. What questions do you have for Dane County's new sheriff? What do you want to know about Barrett's background or his priorities in policing? Phone lines, they're open for you. Join in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll talk with Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett after this news update on the Ideas Network.